Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Today's storyteller is Stephanie Colon.
About 3 years ago, I was working in downtown Hollywood, the Yonge Circle area, as a parking attendant in those multi-level parking garages. So I had a terrible lime green shirt, and the cubicle that I worked in was, I want to say metal, and then windows all around. So the bottom half was metal, and then it was windows, and it had two sliding glass doors on my right and on my left. So it's kind of safe there, and I worked from like 4 to 12, which some people thought was a little dangerous because that area, you know, has a lot of bars and people drinking, and I did see a lot of that, drinking and driving and stuff like that. But the event that most impacted me actually happened kind of in the middle of the day, around dusk, maybe like 5 or 6. The sun was still out. It was, you know, daytime. And I was in my little cubicle, and I had the doors closed, and I was doing homework. And I heard people speaking, which, you know, in one ear, out the other, I tuned them out. But it seemed like they were having an argument. So I looked up from what I was doing, and I scanned around, and I didn't see anything. And then this van came in, and they parked, and two men got out, and they're like discussing something, and I'm looking at them because I'm thinking, well, maybe it was them, maybe they had something to do with it. And it was one of those instances where, for whatever reason, your skin starts getting a little prickly, and you're like, something's off. I don't know what, but something's off. And so the men left. I went back to what I was doing. And then I heard the voices again, so I looked up again, and this time I could clearly hear that it was a woman and a man. And the woman seemed to be trying to placate the man. I can't remember exactly what she was saying, but it was sort of like, I'm sorry, you know, this happened, it won't happen again. And he seemed to say, it's okay, it's okay. But the tone of voice, you knew that he was upset. And I strained to hear what was going on, and I opened my door a little, and then I heard her whimper and her like cry out like, please don't. And then I heard like if someone was hitting a flesh, like it sounded like, you know, he wasn't hitting a car, he wasn't hitting, it was hitting something soft. And I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard her yelling. And I got so scared because I can't see exactly what's happening. I don't know what level they're on, but, you know, I got so scared. And I called 911, and then I hung up the phone. And I said, I can't see, what would I tell them? So 911 has whatever they have. And they called back, and it was a gentleman, and he said, did you call 911? What's the emergency? What's going on? And I didn't know what to say, and so I explained, I'm here in Hollywood, I'm in a parking garage, and I hear some kind of fight going on, but I can't see anything from my position. And so I tried to explain that I was in a booth in a parking garage, so I couldn't see, but I could hear a man beating a woman. I could hear the pounding of the flesh and stuff. And he had to calm me down to get the information. And he said, you know, we'll send someone over. And I hung up with him. He said he was going to send someone over. And I called my supervisor. And as I'm calling my supervisor, I hear her again yelling out in pain and fear, and him again attacking her. And as I'm talking on the phone with my boss, I start yelling, he's hitting her, he's hitting her, he's hitting her again. And hysterical. I started to cry. I couldn't breathe. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to get out of my booth and run to this stranger and help her, but I couldn't. And I waited there what felt like an eternity. And then finally, a police car arrived. The reflection of the police lights, I saw it behind me, so I turned around. I pull open my door to the left, and I run to the police officer. And he's this big, tall American blue-eyed guy. And I tell him, "Officer, officer, officer, I don't know what's going on. I'm so happy to see you." And he says, "Calm down. What is it?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know." And I was surprised because it wasn't just him. Two more patrol cars came by, and they had the place surrounded, apparently. And police swarmed out of every corner. And they came up to me, and they said, "It's okay. It's okay. They're filming a movie on the lower lot. And they're supposed to let you know, but they didn't. Everything is fine." And my tears dried up. And I smiled so broadly because I was so happy. But I turned red like a tomato because I thought this woman was dying. I had called everybody and my mother to tell them that I couldn't help her. And it was a movie that they were filming, and everybody was fine except for me. So the police officers had a laugh and made sure I was okay before they left. And then that night, the producer or the director came by with the actress, and they're like, "We heard that we scared you. We're so sorry. But everybody's okay. Once again, we're so sorry. But so you thought it was real. I'm glad, you know, we worked really hard on the movie." And I said, yes, I thought it was real. Thank you, have a good night. I hope it goes well with your movie." And I just closed the door and I was so embarrassed.
Stephanie Colon with a story about being unnecessarily terrified.
Yes, and perhaps unnecessarily heroic, but I'd like to think that people are heroic in situations where they don't need to be rather than non-heroic in situations where they should be.
You know, just thinking about being heroic, she mentioned in the story that in her job she saw a lot of people drinking and driving. She could have called those people in.
Well, that's pretty funny. You know, she didn't have that little coda to her story. Maybe from then on, she called the cops every time anybody came in, or maybe she never, ever would do it again. You don't know what exactly she learned from this situation.
An outstanding storyteller, because she had me quite anxious about this beating that was going on.
Absolutely. And she did it in many different ways. One of the ways she did it is with the foreshadowing. She said, you know, people told me it was dangerous. People told me I shouldn't take the job. And I saw things going on, like you say, with the drunken driving. And so we are set up for something terrifying. There are also wonderful ironies in the story. My favorite being it took place in Hollywood. Of course they were shooting a movie. It was Hollywood.
There was quite a temptation to run out and see what was going on, but she was trapped inside that little booth, which added to that tension.
Yes, it makes me think of that old Barbara Stanwyck movie, Sorry, Wrong Number, which really dates me, but a lot of young people like old black and white movies, right? And she's lying in bed. She's a wealthy woman. She's very ill. She's lying in bed. She hears a murder being plotted. She can't do anything about it. And it's sort of made me think of other movies with this movie being shot as well.
She was embarrassed at the end, but I would be upset.
I agree with you. You know, it's one thing to be working and you hear all kinds of things in the background and things happen and things don't happen and it's none of your business. But when something happens that causes you to listen, great distinction between the hearing and listening, the act of paying attention, then you feel that you're involved. And I could definitely see, and luckily they apologized to her. Fortunately, that was very nice of them to apologize to her at the end. But I could see feeling they really had me going, and they really scared the living daylights out of me, and it's not a good thing to do. And they wasted police time.
The way she described it, being in that parking cubicle, You could always be on edge at that job.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason why so many sitcoms or dramas or movies are set at work. Because people have stresses, people have surprises that you don't expect to have at home, right? You never know what's going to happen. And she also sets that up really well. She talks about the terrible lime green shirt she had to wear, and she uses that word cubicle early on, and she describes it with the glass and how she's not supposed to get out, et cetera. And most of us have been in these multi-level parking garages and know it's not a place we'd really love to hang out. And she really helps us empathize with her very well, that this is not exactly anybody's dream job. And here, not only is it not a wonderful job to have sitting in this little cubicle at night, but she's got to deal with, what do I do in this situation? You know, she started out making us afraid, making us very afraid. And then when that balloon burst, or when that fear went away, her voice changed completely. It got so much lighter. It started very ominous, it started actually very neutrally, and then it got more ominous. We felt the fear. We heard the fear in her voice and the worry. And then she started laughing after, and there was laughter in her voice even when she wasn't laughing. You could hear her smiling when she said, my tears dried up, and I grew red like a tomato, and I smiled. And you could really hear that in her voice. And I loved the fact that what she was feeling and what she was describing was reflected in her voice. That's good storytelling.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Contact me at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information, as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the public storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The public storyteller returns next Sunday. Thank you.